you just well quit wondering about it. He just would do it. He just would do it. He didn't do it because he was worthy, that's for sure. There's no answer to it. Just said, even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. It pleased the Father to bruise him, to make his soul an offering for sin. Back here in John chapter 5, we have some witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the subject this morning I want to make, is bearing witness of Christ. Bearing witness of Christ. We all want to be witnesses of Christ. We want to be faithful witnesses. We want to say the things about Him that's true. John Bunyan says one of the awfulest persons he knew that ever came to him was that person of shame whenever he didn't witness to Christ faithfully, ashamed on his master's name at times. And that would be an awful thing to do, to be ashamed of Christ when you ought to stand the strongest for Him. And I want to and be a faithful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know you do. If God lets us live, we want to continue to bear witness. Now, people say that the best sermon that you preach is your life. Now, that's not so. That's not so. No, that's not so. If the best sermon you can preach is your life, then just quit. No, you know, Christ and our perfection's in Christ, and that's why we want to bear witness to Him. Not what we do, but what He did. Not what we're trying to do, but what He did do.
Amen.
And if a man looks to us for anything other than what we can say about Christ, we want to honor Him by our lives. We want to honor Him by our character and by our conduct. We do want to do that. But yet you got to be faithful in your message concerning Him. And that's what He said here in verse 31. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. My witness is not true. Now there's four witnesses here of Christ that I want to show you today. And the first, you know, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness of me is true. There are those witnesses that are true. And our Lord Jesus Christ said here, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now what our Savior is telling him, here's the first witness, he bears witness of himself. But he said, this witness here, he says, if I do it by myself and of myself, my witness is not true. And he says, why he's saying that is, according to the law, if a man bears witness of himself, his witness is not true. It's at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So he says, if I'm just standing up, telling you about myself, bearing witness to myself, and I've made some incredible claims. He's saying that, you know, the witnessing of himself wasn't just acceptable to man. He says it's not true. He says it's not valid by your standards, not even valid by the law. And when you look at him outwardly, according to human eyes, he was just an ordinary man. When you saw him, you saw just an ordinary Jew. You saw a carpenter's son. You saw a carpenter. You saw a poor man. You saw a peasant, is what you saw. And according to outward eyes, but this man made some extraordinary claims. And here's the thing about it, either he was the greatest imposter that's ever come into this world, or he was exactly who he said he was. Huh? Look what he says there in verse 18 here. Look what they said about him. Talk about making some claims. John 5:18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Oh my, making himself equal with God, the eternal God. The God that the Jew says there is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The God who created the heavens and the earth and upholds them by the word of His power and measures the waters in the hollows of His hands, the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity that the heaven of heavens can't contain. This man, Mary's son, Joseph's son, is standing here telling us that he's equal with God. So this is the kind of people he's talking to. These are the people he says, so if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But now I tell you, he made some extraordinary claims, but to believers.
Yes.
To believers. His word is true. We believe his word. We believe his claim. And as a man, we believe his word is true. Because he was a sinless man. He is a perfect man. He was God man. Huh? And then it says here in verse 32, he says, but there's another that bears witness of me. Here's the first witness I want to show you. He says, there's another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witnesses he witnesses of me is true. I know what he says about me is true. And this says this, you sent unto John, that's the first witness, and he bear witness unto the truth. What? He says, what? You sent unto John. What do you mean you sent unto John? Turn back over here in John chapter 1, verse 19. I'll show you what it says. Our Lord says, you sent unto John, and John bear witness to the truth. John bear witness of me, and his witness is true. I know his witness is true. Huh? You sent unto John. Look what it says in verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? That's what our Lord says. You sent to John to find out who I am, to find out who he was. And what did John bear witness to? He said, who are you? They want to know who he was. Are you the Christ? No, I'm not the Christ. He said, are you lying? He said, I'm not. Well, who are you? He said in verse 22. We not to know who you are, that we may give an answer to those that says. You know what he said? I'm just a voice. That's all I am. I'm just a voice. And I'm out here in the wilderness and I'm crying out. I'm crying out. And oh, beloved, and they went on and asked him some other questions. And he says down there in verse 26, John answered and said, I baptize with water. But there stands the one among you that you don't know. You don't know who it is. And he it is coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to undo. Oh my. So while he bore witness to the truth about, first of all, John bore witness to about himself. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. He said, I'm just a part of the bridegroom. He said, I'm a voice. He says, Christ is preferred before me because he came before me. He says, he's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He said, he's the bridegroom. And when the friend of the bridegroom hears his voice, he rejoices. And you know what else he said about him? He said, he must increase. And me, I got to decrease. And you know what else he said about him? Him hath God the Father sealed. You know what else he said about him? All things are given into his hands. And you know what else he said about him? You can't receive nothing except it be given you from heaven. Huh? He said, oh, look at him coming yonder. Who is that? That's the Lamb of God. And when his disciples that was following him, he pointed out Christ, they turned and followed Christ. And that's when he fulfilled his ministry. Oh, John bear witness. He says what our Lord said back over here in John 5. He says, you sent unto John. You sent to John. And oh, John bore witness of the truth. Oh my, he reminds them how they sent to him. But in verse 34, look what he says. But I received not testimony from man. Huh? Oh, I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. Now what does he mean, I received not testimony of men? He said, I'm not seeking man's testimony. I'm not out here trying to get folks to say something good about me. I'm not out here trying to make myself of no reputation. I don't grasp after man's testimony. I don't grasp after men to say something about me. I don't need anybody to bear witness of me.
That's right.
My witness itself is true. And look what he says. I don't seek to prove my words by what John said or any other mere man. He says, my word is sufficient. And watch what he says here. But these things I say that you might be saved. It's for your sake that I give you these witnesses. It's for your sake that God sent John. It's for your sake that I'm telling you what I'm telling you. It's for your sake that I'm showing you these witnesses of me. It's for your sake that you might be saved. Huh? Our Savior didn't need John's witness. You know who needs John's witness? They needed John's witness. You know who else needs John's witness? We need John's witness. Everybody needs the witness of Christ, the witness of John, and these witnesses that Christ gives, that they might be saved. Christ don't need them. Christ is going to be the same whether they call him a devil. Did they call him a devil? Did that change him from being who he is? When they said he was a drunkard and a wine bibber, did that change from who he is? Did that change his witness? Did that change his power? Did that change his glory? Did that change his mind? Did that change his relationship with the Father? No! So you see, beloved, Christ says, I say these things and show you these witnesses because you might be saved. It's for your sake that these witnesses are mentioned. And oh, John, all he deigned to do is just prepare the way for him. And look what it says again about him. He was a burning and a shining light. Oh, he was a burning light. Wouldn't you like to be like that? A burning and a shining light. Burning light. And you were, oh my. And that's what our Lord. Our Lord is bearing to how men are to witness for Christ. As he said here, if you confess me, Christ, John confessed Christ. Confess Christ in every way, in every way possible that he could. And Christ says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And here he is. John was a burning and a shining light. I'm confessing how he was blessed. I'm confessing what a witness he was to me. And all, beloved, and they said, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. And I can't help but wonder. You know, our Lord says we're to be lights in this world. He says, cast off the armor of darkness and put on the armor of light. And he says, shine forth as lights in this world, holding forth the word of life. And oh my, wouldn't you like to be like that? And look what else it says about him. He says here, you were willing for a season to rejoice in this light. What does that mean? As long as John was popular, the scripture says that Herod heard him gladly. Oh, Herod, the king, heard him gladly. Until even he rejoiced in his life. He rejoiced in what he had to say. He rejoiced in his message for a while until John says it's not lawful.
That's right.
And oh, he says, now, that old boy ain't got no light at all. That's what he said. He's willing to rejoice in it. And these Jews were willing to rejoice in John as long as he was popular. As long as he was out there preaching. But before he was put in prison, everybody rejoiced in him. They're like those stony ground hearers. They at once received the word with joy. And then when persecution arises, by and by, they fade away. They pass away. And that's why our Lord Jesus said, If you continue in my word, if you can, not just for a season, not just as some preacher that comes along you impress with, not just somebody that comes along full of fire and full of zeal and full of vim and vigor, not because somebody is an eloquent speaker, but he says, just if you continue in my word, then, and not till then, and only then, are you my disciples. Ain't that right? Oh, that's what our Lord said. That this business of being a believer, this business of being a witness for Christ, it's not just something you do until something better comes along. It's not just a fire escape from hell or an insurance policy. He said, if you continue in my word, then. What is his word? All of it.
Amen.
All of it. Somebody told me just this week. He said a fellow was teaching through Romans, and he got to Romans chapter 8. Saw it on television do this. Got to Romans chapter 8, and he says, you know, we're going to skip this and go on by this because this is too controversial. And we don't want no controversy. That fellow ain't even gotten light. He ain't even gotten life. Well, let's don't preach on election. Let's don't be true to the Word of God and continue in the Word of His sovereignty or of His electing grace. Let's don't continue in the Word of all men is dead in trespasses, sins, maggots and worms, filthy from the top of their head to the sole of their foot. Let's don't continue in that Word. Let's go tell everybody, oh, Jesus loves you and you're the finest people that ever was. Oh, you know, Jesus is, you know, He needs the gift that you got. He needs your power. He needs your money. He needs your strength. He needs you. Let's don't continue in the Word. And I tell you what, I wouldn't be in a man's shoes for 10,000 worlds who said, let's pass by that. That's too controversial. Our Lord was controversial. You know why they took Him out there the first time He preached? In Nazareth? You know why I did? Because He says, you know, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah. But Elijah was only sent to one. That widow over in Sarepta. He wasn't even sent to a widow in Israel. He sent to a Gentile over there. And then He says, and you know, there were many lepers in Syria in the time of Elisha. But Elisha's only sent to one. Man, they understood right then and there that He's telling us that Christ and that God Almighty is going to do something for Gentiles, going to pass by us. He's preaching sovereign election. And they got angry, going to throw Him off a cliff. That's what He says, you know. I'm saying these things for your sake, that you might be saved. I don't need it. I am who I am. All right, let's go on down here. Let's go on down here now. He said, he says, you were willing for a season to rejoice in His light. But verse 36, He said, I have a greater witness than that of John. Here's the second one. I have a greater witness than that of John. What is this witness greater than John? The works?
Yes, sir.
The works which your Father has given me to finish? You reckon He finished them?
Amen.
Watch what He says. Now the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father sent. That the Father sent me. Oh, my. Oh, I have greater my works. Look over here in John 10. I'm going to show you something. Let's look at this, John chapter 10, verse 25. Look at this, what they said about it. My works, the works that I do. The works that I do. I was talking to Miles McKee the other day, and he was in Pentecostalism for years. Tongue speaking, you know, and all that. He was a big churches. And he says, that's one thing that always puzzled me where the Lord said, you know, it's just an anomaly. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. He says, the work that I do, you shall do greater. And he says, you know, that always bothered me in Pentecostalism because we was always interested in doing great works, performing miracles and deliverance and healing and all those things. He says, but I never did see anybody raised from the dead. I never did see any lepers cleansed. So what in the world is he talking about? He says, that right then there itself is condemn me. Condemn me. Condemn me. But look what so our Lord says, the works bear witness of me. John 10, 25. Verse 24. Let's look to keep in this context. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now look what our Lord said. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. Now listen, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. My very works do. If you don't believe I'm the Christ, why don't you look at my works? Look down verse 38. Verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. If the works that I do are not of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do, though you believe not, believe the works. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works. Look at the works. If you don't believe me in what I have to say, look at the works that I do, that you may know and believe that the Father's in me and I in the Father. John 14:11. Look at here. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. If you can't believe what I say, if you won't believe who I say I am, look at my works. Look at what I do. And oh, let me give you seven things about our Lord's works. Seven things about our Lord's works. Seven things about our Lord's miracles. Back over here. He says, first of all, the number of them. You know how many works our Lord did? You go through the Gospels one of these times and start counting them. And then the Scripture says that all the things that He did wasn't written down in the book. The first miracle He done was He turned water into wine. And oh, beloved, all the miracles, their number, of the very number that He done, where they were very, very, very many. That in of itself shows you that. And secondly, their greatness. They were mighty in nature. Look over here in John 5:5. You know their greatness. They were mighty in number. John 5:5, look what it says. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years, lying by the pool of Bethesda. And when Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He hadn't been able to walk for 38 years. Our Lord says, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when I have the waters trouble to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Our Lord said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk, and immediately the man was made whole. And took up his bed and done exactly what Christ told him to do, walked. He said, take up your bed. I did. Walk. He did. Oh my. And over in John, you got to see this. I'll tell you, I know we ain't got nowhere to go today until dinner time. 9:32. Oh my. Oh, the greatness of them. You know, our Lord Jesus walked on water. Just walked right out on water one night, 4 o'clock in the morning. Here he comes walking on the water. And they said, oh my, it's a ghost. He says, be not afraid, be of good cheer. It is I. And you talking about being of good cheer. Well, he is good cheer when he said, it's me. It's I. Don't be afraid. And look what it says here in John 9:32. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? John 9:32. Not since the world began has it ever been told, ever been done, that a man opened a man's eyes that was born blind. Ain't never been done. And oh, beloved, and oh, he stilled the storm just by speaking to it. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. He saw all this multitude. And he said, set them down here. And he fed over 5,000 people with 2 loaves of bread and 5 fishes. Another time he fed over 4,000 with 7 fishes and 2 loaves of bread. How do you do that? Works God sent him to do. Lepers! Wilt thou be made clean? Yes, yes. And all, not only were their number, they were very many, they're great, but they was done publicly. Here's what's so wonderful about it. Everything he done, it was done in public, where everybody could see it. Everybody's around that pool when he told that man to get up. They saw that. Everybody was around that tomb of Lazarus, and there was a multitude around him. They saw Lazarus come out of that tomb. They saw Lazarus come back to life. They saw him raise that widow's son. They saw him feed the multitudes. They saw the works that there was a crowd following him one day. When that woman said, if I can just press and touch the hem of his garment, she pressed through a crowd. And all these things. He was sitting one day in a great crowd preaching around him. Spells got on a roof and took off the roof so that they could let a man down in front of him. Everything was done publicly. He didn't get off and say, you know, like this junk bus did today. He says, you know, I seen this great miracle. And I've done this great miracle. Said, me and God knows it. Oh. Everybody's seen him. It was before many witnesses. And that's why he says, if you don't believe me for the works. And then not only that, but look at the character of their witnesses. Look at the character of them. They were works of love, mercy, compassion. Oh my, he looked at that multitude and he says, he had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. Oh my. Like that man laying there. Our Lord saw him there. That man that was born blind. That widow woman, she was going out of town. She was weeping and crying over her only son. Her heart was broken. Carrying him out to bury him. And our Lord was moved with compassion toward them to stop. Here's death and here's life. And when they meet, and he speaks, death's got to answer. And got to give up the dead. Oh, everything he'd done was done out of love and compassion. Helpful. He'd done it out of help, not just to exhibit his power. Our Lord didn't do anything just to show how powerful he was.
No.
And that he could work miracles. Ain't that what they told him? His own brother says, you do these great works, go out there. Said, no man does what he does unless he wants people to see. Our Lord Jesus didn't do it just to show how powerful he was. Let me give you a fifth reason. The appeal that they had to men's senses. You know, everything he did was visible. I mean, if you'd have been standing there, at Lazarus' tomb, and you heard, first of all, you'd see him weep. You'd see him standing there crying. Tears falling down his eyes. And you'd be like everybody else. You'd say, boy, he sure must have loved Lazarus. Oh, he must have loved him so much. But when he started, said, take that stone away. And they said, oh, Lord, don't do that. He said, you'll smell him. He stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. Don't do that. He said, take it away. Stand there crying. And he lifts up his eyes to heaven. He prays, says, Father, I know that you hear me always, but for their sake, I do this.
Yeah.
And then he just said, Lazarus, if you'd have been there, your ears would have heard it. Your eyes would have seen it. And your heart would have been touched when you saw him cry. And you'd have watched that dead man come out of there and you'd have stood in utter and absolute astonishment. My. My, my. What about all these people saw him raise that dead man? That man there's laying. And what about all the folks? They just couldn't get over that he opened the eyes of a man that was born blind. Oh, they just... And I tell you what's so bad about it. They could have, every miracle that he ever performed, every work he ever did, he could bear examination. You could examine it. That's what they done with that blind man. They examined him from top to bottom, questioned him, inquired of him. And I said, that's something this miracle workers today, none of their works could. They perform all these miracles, Benny Hinn, and this fellow just died, and all these miracles, you know, and had these tents full of people walking up in crutches, coming in wheelchairs and all that stuff. Come to find out, most of his stage, you know, he got a fellow sitting down and he's supposed to have a short leg and, you know, it goes like this and that guy goes pulling on his leg and now it stretches out, you know. Phony is a $3 bill. You can examine any miracle worker. Get to the crowd, he's being examined, any miracle worker. And they won't bear examination, but you take anything that Christ did, examine it.
That's right.
Yeah. And it lasts. Look at that blind man. Is he seeing? He does. Is Lazarus alive? He is. They sit down and had dinner with him in the afternoon. That woman with the issue your blood to spend every penny she had and was right on the verge of death? She said, if I can touch but the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Was she made whole? Oh, my. And I'll tell you something else. They weren't staged. They weren't staged. No, no. You know, he didn't wait till a big crowd gathered around and then he called somebody out to show him what power he had and what ability he had. No, no. When he was going about his ministry and he's going about his life, going about preaching and that's when these things happened. They just happened in the natural course of his ministry, the natural course of his life. Nothing prearranged about it. And then last of all, their efficacy, their effectualness. Guess what? Everyone he healed stayed healed. First of all, they were immediate. Take up your bed and walk. Took up his bed and walked. Oh, your eyes are open. Without being made clean, you're made clean. Everything he did, it was immediate, it was instantaneous, it was complete, and guess what else? It was perfect. Oh my, that's the way salvation is. I mean, what Christ does, it lasts. And then look what it says. So that's the second witness, his works. Back over here in John 5. He says, my witness is not true. John bore witness of me. My works bear witness of me. And down in verse 37, here's the third witness. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. How many times did the Father speak about him? To this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. When the Spirit felt, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Christ spoke to the voice. They said they heard God speak one time, sound like thunder. That's what it sounded like when he spoke on Mount Sinai. That's why everybody backed up and said, we don't want to hear him, because that whole mountain shook and sounded like thunder coming off that mountain. Oh, listen. He says, his Father's borne witness of it. And look what he says. You've neither heard his voice or at any time or seen his shape. But what does the world's that mean? You know, Philip said this, show us the Father and it'll satisfy us. It'll be sufficient. We won't ask for anything. That'll be sufficient. You can go on. He said, Philip, have you been such a long time with me and you've not seen me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And he says, you know, you've never seen the Father, seen his shape, and you ain't never heard his voice. And that was the Father, God, standing right in front of him. Fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. Amen. God spoke, speaking through him. The only time he's ever spoke, he spoke through him. And there he is. God's speaking, and they don't hear his voice, and they don't see his shape. Oh, and I'll tell you another way that the Father witnessed to him. All the way through the prophets and the law, the Father bore witness to him time and time and time and time and time again. Bore witness to him in Isaiah 53. Bore witness to him in the ark that was bore up. Yes. Bore witness of him in the Passover lamb. Bore witness to him when Isaac offered up his son. Bore witness to him when he sent Eliezer to get a bride for his son Isaac. Oh, he bore witness to him in so many ways, so many times. And oh, beloved, and he says, and look what he says here now. He goes on to say about this. He said, you've neither heard his voice nor seen his shape. And listen, this is it. This is it right here. And you have not his word abiding in you. My word. If you had his word abiding in you, that's what our Lord's saying, verse 38. If you have not his word abiding in you. Now these fellows are Bible believers. They were fundamentalists. Strict religionists. I mean, listen, every Sabbath day they got to, a lot of them walked around and you can see it now and you can go. The next time you see a bunch of Jews at that Wailing Wall, you know some of them's got them phylacteries up here on their head. They got a band around their head and got them phylacteries on there. That's scriptures. Got them in a little bitty roll. And you know, he wants everybody to know, I got these scriptures here. I got them on my head. I believe the Word of God. He'll bounce and bounce and bounce. And he got that up there. Wants everybody to know it. If you open that up, you pull it out, and there's verses, two or three verses of scripture in there. Oh my, he wants everybody to know. But our Lord, what did he say? He said, you have not his word abiding in you. It's a heap sight different putting them on your head in a bag or carrying a Bible under your arm, having it in your heart, ain't it? Everybody puts them on their dash so everybody sees that they got a Bible with them. But it's a whole lot different having them on your dash and having them in your brain, having them in your heart, having them in your soul. Ain't that right? And oh, look what our Lord says. For whom he has sent, you believe not. If you would believe in him whom he has sent, you'd look. Look what he, and I want you to notice something. He says, you have not his word. I want you to see all the nots here in these next. Do not. I want you to see, you have not his word abiding in you. Look down in verse 40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Look down in verse 43. I am come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Verse 44. How can you believe which receive honor one from another and seek not the honor which cometh from God only? Down in verse 47. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe me? Whole bunch of knots in there. You know the only one who can untie them knots? Do away with all them knots? Christ's only way to do with all them knots. I don't want none of them knots to be in me. Do you? I don't want that. You believe not, you will not come to me. I don't want to say you believe not my writings. I don't want none of those knots in me. All right, then here's the... That was the third witness, the Father. Then look at the fourth witness here. He's talking about you have not his word abiding in you. And then he goes on to say, search the scriptures. Fourth witness here. Search the scriptures there in verse 39. For in them you think you have eternal life. You're staking your life. You're staking your soul. You're staking your eternity on believing the word. And he says, and yet you don't even have it in your body. You don't have body. And they are they which have or testify me. See, the scriptures testify to Christ. Everything about the scriptures testify to Christ. John's gone. He'd been beheaded. Our Lord's gone to glory. And we've never seen God. But I tell you one thing we have. We're like Simon Peter. We have a more sure word of prophecy.
Amen.
What authority. What authority. What importance our Lord attaches to his word. There's no appeal beyond the word of God. No appeal beyond that. And that's what our Lord said, search the Scripture. First of all, it's an appeal. He said, search the Scriptures. Search them. And secondly, it's a command. Search the Scriptures. You think you've got eternal life? You hope you have eternal life? You say this is the foundation? You think this is one of your articles of faith? That the Scripture's going to give you life? Well, search them then. Because there ain't no life but in me. And the Scriptures testify of me. There's no hope for you. Look over in Luke 24. Let me show you this. I know you've seen this many a time, but look at it. I know some of you haven't. You need to see this. Luke 24. Back over here in Luke 24, verse 27, I believe it is. Yeah, verse 27. Verse 25, excuse me. Luke 24:25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Oh my. So how, I mean, the Lord even used the scriptures to show men himself. And all beloved, and he says, search. Search the scriptures. Back where we're in John 5 with you now. Search them. And oh, beloved, I tell you, that's what we do. We search the Scriptures. You know, you go places and they have these places where they got, you can go dig for rubies and diamonds. You know, they got them in different places around the country, and people go in there and they'll get them a bucket and they'll pay so much money, and then they get to go off on a hillside and dig through the dirt and all that stuff, and every once in a while somebody finds something, you know. They're out there searching for just some kind of a special stone. And here's the Rock of Ages in this blessed ground. The stone which God made the head of the corner in this blessed book. And this is the one where we need to be searching. You'll find the pearl of great price in this blessed book.
Amen.
You'll find Him who's altogether lovely. All right. You know, that's why those Scriptures says, you know, to Him all the prophets give witness. Now look what it says in verse 40. Here's all these witnesses. Four witnesses. Four witnesses. John, His works, His Father, and the Word, the Scriptures. And then look what He says. We got all these witnesses, and I told you these things that you might be saved. And you will not come to Me that you might have life. You search the Scriptures thinking this is it for, but you will not come to Me that you might have life. It wasn't a lack of proof why they wouldn't come to Christ. You know why they wouldn't come? Carnal mind is enmity against God. They had a perverse will. They had a nature. They were unwilling to come. It's a perverse will. And then look what it says. I received not honor of men. I'm not telling you these things to get your approval, to get you to brag on me. I'm not telling you these things not just to get you to honor me. No. If you don't want to receive Me, you will not come to Me. I don't need your honor. I'm not seeking your honor. And that's what most preachers are presenting to people. You know, Jesus really needs you. That's what people say about Paul. Said, God knew that Paul would make such a great apostle. No. Paul was a rebel, a God-hater, a Christ-rejecter, a Holy Ghost-denier, a Pharisee of Pharisees. And had not Christ put him in the dust on the Damascus Road, he'd have died and went to hell. He would not come to Christ until Christ came to him. He will not never bow to Christ till Christ puts him in the dust. Oh, my. In the day of His power, His people would say, I don't receive honor. Now watch what He says. I don't receive honor from men. Now watch what else He says. But I know you. What He's saying is, I know you. I know you. I know your thoughts. I know your feelings. I know what you think. I know everything about you. I know your thoughts afar off. I know your intentions. And He says, and I know you. And you don't have the love of God in you. You say, God, your Father, but your father's the devil. You say you love God because you go to the Sabbath day and you read your Bible and say you love God. They said, I know you. You ain't got the love of God in you. If you had the love of God in you, you'd love Me. Huh? And oh, look what He says. They came to be law keepers, student of the Word, and Sabbath keepers. Said, I know you. You don't have the love of God in you. And then look what He says. I'm come in My Father's name. I came in the name of Almighty God, the great I Am that I Am. He said seven times He was I Am. And you won't receive Me. We don't believe a word you got to say. We just don't believe You're God. We just don't believe that You got any... You know, we see these works, but we just can't believe You. Right? Now watch this. But if another shall come in his own name, come, you know, and so-and-so's coming to town. Get all your children, get all your grandmas, get all your grandpas. This great preacher, if you want them saved, bring them to hear this man. If you want them healed, bring them to hear this man. And he says, they come in their own name and you'll receive another. And I'll tell you this, you reject Christ and you know what you'll do? You'll receive the Antichrist. Because he's certainly coming in his own name. Huh? You reject the truth and you know what you'll do? You'll receive a lie. You'll do like Adam and Eve. When Satan presents you a lie, you'll say, I just believe I'll eat that. I just believe I'll eat that. And oh, and look what he says. This is astounding to me. How can you believe? How can you possibly believe which receive honor one of another? Oh my. Here you are, you honor one of another. Ain't that what preachers do? They honor. There's fellas that make their whole ministry bragging on the Puritans. Writing on the Puritans. Make their whole ministry bragging on dead preachers. Or bragging on other preachers. Oh, that's the greatest preacher. He's the greatest preacher. I'm just bragging, honor. Honoring one another. Get up and say, oh, I thank God for this and that and there. And so-and-so's here with us. And we appreciate that senator. Appreciate that congressman. Appreciate this dear woman over here. And that one. Oh, my. They've done such wonderful. Listen. We ain't going to give the flesh a hair's breadth in this world. I don't care if the President of the United States come in. He may bring in an entourage with him. But they're going to sit and hear the gospel. If they come in here or any place else where they preach the gospel. Everybody else may honor them. But God ain't going to honor them. And I tell you, men seek honor one of another. And he says, how can you believe this bragging on one another? And you don't seek that honor that God gives you. That God says, this is my man. This is my child. This is my message. This is the one I'm sent. And oh, do not think that I'm going to accuse you to the Father. I ain't going to do it. I don't have to. Why not? There's one's going to accuse you. You say Moses is the fellow we're trusting in. Moses. Not the God of Moses, just Moses. He said, I don't have to accuse you. You know who's going to accuse you? Say Moses is who we trust. We're his disciples. You know what he said? He said, when you face God, said Moses himself is going to stand there. And say, you fellas didn't have a clue. Moses will stand there and say, you know, this is the Messiah. This is that prophet of whom he spake. This is that promised seed, the seed of the woman. This is him. Huh? This is Abraham's seed. Huh? And all beloved, he said here, now watch this. In verse 46, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. If you claim kinship to Moses and following Moses, being his disciples, he'll one day accuse you in that great day. And watch this. If had you believed Moses, you'd believe me. You know why? Because Moses wrote about me. Huh? And oh my. Let me show you this in closing here. Let me show you John 9 real quick. John 9:27. Verse 26, and they said unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, John 9:27, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciple? They reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We're Moses' disciple. Let me close in John 12:47. They contended for Moses. They contended for Moses. They had been ready to die for what Moses taught. But Christ says, you really don't believe him. If you did, you'd believe me. Moses wrote of me. Verse 47, John 12:47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now listen, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Oh my. Witnesses, bearing witness of Christ. Bearing witness of Christ, just being a faithful witness.